Welcome back to the V2A podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking to Manuel Calderon, our managing director, as well as with Mario Gonzalez, one of our senior associates, on the recently published article titled Growth Opportunities for the Pharmaceutical Industry in Puerto Rico. Welcome, Manuel, and welcome, Mario. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
So let's talk about why we did this insight. Why we're going through this global crisis, global pandemic. Why are we talking about a growth opportunity in Puerto Rico for the pharma industry, Mario?
Sure. As you know, for years, globalization has taken center stage in the manufacturing of goods. Companies looking to optimize their cost base have moved their operations all across the globe, which has resulted in more and more complex supply chains. Because of this pandemic, it's no secret that the U.S. is rethinking the benefits of globalization and is looking for ways to simplify their supply chain to secure domestic supply of goods. These goods include pharmaceuticals, and this creates a big opportunity for Puerto Rico. The island has a lot of history in the manufacturing of pharmaceutical goods. Therefore, there's a lot of opportunities with this. With that said, since here in B2A, we've had plenty of experience in the pharmaceutical industry, we decided to look at the data and try to really understand how prepared Puerto Rico really is to exploit these opportunities that are being presented to the island.
I think that no matter under every scenario, I think the pharmaceutical products and drug therapies are going to be key to any response that you have to this crisis. And the way that supply chains have been disrupted makes it clear that there's got to be a rethinking of how supply chains work around the world. In this particular case, Puerto Rico has been a key player in the industry for many years. So it's an obvious opportunity that's been discussed right away as to how Puerto Rico can insert itself into the discussion as to how to address this going forward, not only in the immediate, but also in the longer term.
Awesome. So, Manuel, can you tell us more about the industry itself, you having been working in this industry early in your career?
Sure. I think the pharmaceutical industry manufacturing, it's obviously a very complex process. There's really not a one industry. There are really three main, there are many, but there's the primary three main elements to it. There's the active product ingredient side, or APIs, who actually make the actual drug itself, more chemical process than anything else. There's the drug product process, where you actually make the drug itself, whether it's tablets or capsules or any other delivery form. And then there's the biologic side, which are drugs that are made differently. They're really large molecule products, mostly injectables or almost all injectables, including vaccines. And those three different types of products and processes have different supply chains. Now, Puerto Rico has been involved in the industry in all three phases or all three components for many years. Historic reasons obviously being 936 and some of the tax incentives originally, but the island has been and continues to be very important in, I guess, the glory days in the 80s and 90s. Saw Puerto Rico being absolutely dominant in the industry and having at one point, I think, up to almost 30 plus large sites. And nowadays, there's still a significant presence and a lot of the products are made here, but obviously not as much as happened before. And also important to note that in Puerto Rico has been focused mainly on high complexity, difficult to make products that are very high value, mostly on the branded side, the top pharmaceutical companies, not so much in the lower cost, high volume generic side, which there are, but not as prevalent as the others. So that's sort of an overview of the industry.
Thank you, Manuel. So how is the industry right now in Puerto Rico? We've seen a decrease in product manufacturing over the last 10 years, but there's still a lot happening in the island, right?
There is, and there's a misconception that the industry keeps dropping. I think the industry dropped significantly from very high levels to what we have now. There on the island, there's in the teens number of sites, of large sites, that operate for much of the last companies. And in the last 3 years, it's been, I guess, 3 or 4 years, it's been fairly stable. There are, along all the components, there are sites that are operating and they keep, you know, developing and bringing new drugs in. The only one that's been, I guess, the only component that's been a little bit, I don't want to say eliminated, but there are not that many sites, is the API site on the active ingredient, the chemical sites. There are not that many left, but there are many drug product sites, and there are at least three, four biologic sites on the island.
Great. So in terms of the insight, we started looking at available data to see how Puerto Rico could contribute. We looked at some opportunities for growth in the short term and the long term. Mario, can you tell us more about the information that we gathered, the data, and, you know, what, before going into the actual opportunities, what did we find and how did we break it up to go into our insight?
Sure. So basically, we wanted to evaluate Puerto Rico's pharmaceutical product portfolio and try to correlate that to the existing pharmaceutical demand that exists in the U.S. based on their imports. To do that, we were able to find some data in the U.S. Census Bureau. They currently record all data related to all the imports that are in the U.S. and all the exports out of every state. In this case, we mainly looked at Puerto Rico. Actually, when we started comparing Puerto Rico's pharmaceutical exports to those of other states, we found that since at least 2002, Puerto Rico has led every other state in the United States in terms of pharmaceutical exports to the world. So when we looked at the types of pharmaceutical products that Puerto Rico is currently exporting, basically the types of product that Puerto Rico export correspond to 73% of the total volume of pharmaceutical products that the U.S. is currently importing from Europe, Asia, and other parts of the world. That 73% also corresponds to 88% of the total value of pharmaceutical imports, which means that from the portfolio of Puerto Rican product or pharmaceutical products that come out of Puerto Rico, basically those types of products amount to 73% of the total imports, pharmaceutical imports that come into the U.S. and 88% of the total value. That really shows that in terms of the products that Puerto Rico is currently producing, the island is really well positioned to replace a good chunk of the pharmaceutical demand that is currently being imported from other countries.
All right. So, and once we looked at this data, you know, some of the conclusions that we've come to are that there are short-term and long-term opportunities. In the short term, maybe less. In the longer term, maybe looking at some national security issues and also how manufacturers deal with supply chain challenges. Manuel, can you take us through some of the opportunities in the insight?
Sure. I think it's important to note that they're really, like you said, there's going to be some short-term opportunities and some long-term, medium and long-term opportunities. In the short term, I think at some point, we all hope that all these therapies that are being tested right now and all the experimentation as to how to treat the disease are finally going to yield some conclusions in terms of specific drugs that are going to be helpful in the short term. There are many that have been proposed, and it's just a matter of having enough data and enough research to actually validate that one or another is really what works. Now, once something is officially deemed as effective to treat the disease, you're going to see a very rapid production of that product at a scale that we haven't seen in a long time. The issue here is going to be what type of product it is and who's actually making the product right now, and what is their capability to deliver at a massive scale. Now, it's important to note that when you say you're going to manufacture a pharmaceutical product, it's not something that you do from one day to the next. In a typical site, when you have a product that comes into a site, you go through an approval process, a design process to make sure you can make the product, an approval process, and then you do trial lots, you do stability studies on the product that you come out. And the fastest I've ever seen a product come through is a year from the time that you say we're going to make it to the time you actually get approval to ship the product out. Now, obviously, this is going to be an extraordinary circumstance, and there may be, you know, regulatory shortcuts for this, but it's not going to be at the scale or the speed that we would like it to be when you have people dying every day at hospital. So most likely, whoever is already making the product is going to be making it at a looking for ramp up at a massive scale. Now, there is an opportunity, though, because historically, Puerto Rico has done so many of these products already that there are some sites on the island that are already validated for many of the products that are candidates or that could be a solution to this crisis. So, and I'll just use an example. If you take azithromycin, for example, or what used to be Citromax, is a product made originally developed by Pfizer. It was made, both the API and the drug product were both made on the island. And if, for example, that were the product, then the cycle for making that product at scale is much, much shorter. It'll still take some time, but it's something that you can ramp up production fairly quickly. And it would certainly be an opportunity for the island to work on. And like this example, there are certainly others that could very well be. Now, the longer term, the medium and longer term are a different story. And I think the longer term, they're really two types of opportunities. There's a long-term opportunity for the island in terms of manufacturing, because there's, like Mario was saying, and you were saying at the beginning, there is a realization that the supply chains right now are not necessarily working in our favor in the U.S. And there's a realization that in times of crisis like now, you really can rely on a supply chain that where most of the products that you probably need are not made in the U.S. and are made in China and a lot of them in Europe. So you got to bring it closer. And I would expect to have a number of products that were going to be deemed strategic for national security purposes that are going to have to be either manufactured at scale or manufactured part of the supply chain in U.S. territories or in U.S. mainland. So with that in mind, then obviously Puerto Rico becomes a really competitive a place for manufacturing, given all the attributes that are needed to do that. So I would expect some of that to happen. There are other opportunities as well. I think it's not only for these strategic products, but I think I've been hearing from some of the big players that they're also, even beyond those products that are deemed strategic for typically anti-infectives and antibacterial products, but even for your regular product lines, a lot of the products that are made in the States, that are not made in the States, that are made in contract manufacturing or third parties in Europe and Asia, are maybe candidates to bring in just from a risk perspective from the big players. So they may say, you know, I don't want to rely on, and we've seen stories of products right now who were held up in European sites or Asian sites just because the borders were closed. So you don't want to run out of certain products, and every company is actively looking at that. And I think at some point, some of those products are going to land on the island as well.
So on the first long-term issue regarding national security, that might require some incentive or some, you know, policy decisions made, you know, in Congress or something that makes manufacturers and companies move these to the States, right? I mean, this is not something that companies themselves would be looking at necessarily.
I think there's got to be the reason they're not in the States to begin with is that many of these tend to be products that are off patent for many years and are relatively cheap, high volume products that are not cost competitive, where the states are not cost competitive, not only Puerto Rico, but any other states, big concentrations of pharma in California or New Jersey, in Indiana, that really, you really can't compete with sites or Puerto Rico can't compete with sites in Asia and even Eastern Europe. So there's got to be, if you are going to bring those products back, there's got to be some sort of incentive, whether it's purchases that are earmarked for made in the U.S. or some sort of some sort of other incentive beyond just setting a specific price that makes it interesting to manufacturers in the U.S. Otherwise, nobody's going to make the product at the prices that you can get them from those markets.
And on the second point, is in that case Puerto Rico would have to compete with any other state, right? That would, there would have to be a local interest in attracting companies to move those the manufacturing into Puerto Rico as opposed to any other state, correct?
Yes, but there are two things here. One is Puerto Rico needs to be competitive. Anyway, so there are a number of things that Puerto Rico needs to continue doing to be competitive. And there's tons of literature on that and a lot of discussion on how to make Puerto Rico more competitive. Beyond that, there's a need to remember, a lot of these products, all patent products by these large companies, are not necessarily sole sourced, which means that they typically is a primary manufacturer and sometimes a secondary manufacturer for them. But if the product is not large enough, there may just be one. So I think the issue here is Puerto Rico needs to continue to be competitive to ensure that it becomes a primary site for these companies when they look at their sourcing decisions for these products, when they look at it and say, okay, so we're going to define where we're going to make this molecule or this product. It's been made now in, Korea, or it's been made in China, or it's been made primarily there. But, to mitigate our risk, we're going to have one of our sites stateside make it as well. And that's going to be a policy I would expect for all companies now. Say every product I would have, or, every product of size, of scale. We're going to have an alternative site on the U.S. and Puerto Rico should be able to compete favorably for most of those.
What would be a good thing that local players could start doing now to become more competitive, or at least raise awareness that they are here and that they're ready to bring on those sites locally?
Well, there are two things. One is more, I think, system-wide. I think Puerto Rico needs to raise its hand and I think it's also very important for the first opportunity we're talking about strategic products to say to policymakers and people who look at national security to say, Puerto Rico is an attractive place to do it. It's cost competitive compared to the states, not necessarily to overseas, but compared to the states, it's very cost competitive. And it's definitely a player. You need three things to be effective in this. You need sites. You need facilities that are already up and running, that are working. Because setting up a new facility, it's really, really expensive. And there are a number of facilities on the island that are either idle or that are very underutilized. So there is space to make this, to make these products. So you need that, one. Two, you need a labor force that knows how to make the products. And when I say labor force, not only labor, your operators, your mechanics, but also your engineers, your technicians, your pharmaceutical technicians. So you need to have the skill sets and the manpower to do this. And there is especially now when so many sites have scaled down or closed, there is an ample labor market on the island that's ready and willing and able. So that's two. And then the third one is the ecosystem. You need to have a set of suppliers, specialty equipment, and the like that you need to have readily available. You know, things like filters, tubing, validation experts, things like that, that we have plenty of that are world-class and are available. So we have all of that. So to answer your question, you need to make this be known to policymakers and people who will eventually make these decisions from a strategic sourcing perspective. Now, from a site-specific perspective and companies, sites on the island need to raise their hand and say, you know, this is an issue and become inserted on their supplier. They already do for the most part, but be more vocal as to, you know, how Puerto Rico can do this and start looking out for products that you know are good candidates for your sites and your facilities. So, you know, be proactive and asking for it and you know, being an important player in that discussion.
Mario, looking at the data that you have looked at, is there an opportunity also for local players to gather or produce better information that may help them, sell themselves or raise their hand?
Well, definitely. Some of the things that we have heard is about a reliable real estate database or a facility database where you can actually know how many sites we have in the island. Actually, there's no such thing right now in Puerto Rico, or at least it's not really readily available. I think that would help a lot when you start planning where you're going to deploy all this production in the island. One thing I want to add in terms of what Manuel said, in terms of the ecosystem, when we looked at our data, that's exactly what we found. We found that Puerto Rico already plays in the majority of the pharmaceutical needs in the U.S., And that's just the numbers say it. So I think that third thing, it's you can see it in data and it's available in Puerto Rico.
All right. So after looking at the data and, you know, identifying some of these opportunities as a result of this global crisis, what's next? What can be done now, and what's next for Puerto Rico and the local pharma industry?
So, like I said before, there are definitely, as we've been talking, there's certainly great opportunities for the island. I think it's a great opportunity for Puerto Rico and for the states to have reliable partners in manufacturing. There are organizations on the island, trade groups, and individuals and industry leaders who are getting together right now and putting proposals on the table to address all of these things going forward. So the effort is going to be a combination of government-led initiatives, industry and group-led initiatives, and specific initiatives within each company to manage this in the future. I think the island needs to, as always, continue to make itself more competitive from all its aspects, energy, labor, tax, and incentives, and all of that. But more than anything else, I think, like I said before, is to make sure that it puts its, you know, hand up and makes everyone understand how much of a heads up and how competitive the industry is, and the fact that there are all these components to the solution that are already in place. And make sure that we are vocal about it.
I agree, and I think we'll look forward to seeing that happen. And here at V2A, we'll be following closely on developments regarding COVID and solutions, drug treatment, and potential vaccines. So we'll follow this topic closely, and we'll keep writing and looking for more data to share with our audience. I thank you all. I thank Mario and Manuel for joining us.
Thank you, Carlos, and we look forward. We certainly will be following very closely, and And I would not be surprised if we're going to see an uptick in the term, certainly in the medium and long term in the pharmaceutical industry here. So looking forward to that.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. And if you haven't read our latest insight, go and visit our website, v2aconsulting.com. Look for our public insights and you'll see our pharma industry insight, as well as other insights we've been publishing in the past. We've also keep a live dashboard of COVID in Puerto Rico and some information on COVID in the Dominican Republic, and compare cases, mortality rate, and a bunch of other information readily accessible to everyone in our website. So we invite you all to visit our website and look into all the information there. Thank you all. And
thank you, Carlos.
We'll see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.